This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Friday to everyone. The All-Star Game is in town. It's a busy weekend. Today we have the celebrity game. We've got the rookies against the second-year players, the rising stars. Tomorrow's the dunk,
We don't have any Bulls in the rising stars game either, do we?
No, Kobe White did not make it. And Wendell did, but Wendell's hurt. So he's not in it. And then we've got the All-Star game on Sunday. It should be an emotional night at the United Center. We also will talk baseball with Mark Grace here in 15 minutes regarding the whole cheating scandal and him returning to the Cubs in some way here with the Marquee Network. We saw our next guest in Miami at the Super Bowl at the Prime 112, Steve Levy, living his best life, and he is doing play-by-play of the XFL.
Yes, he is.
And he's also one of our good friends from years gone by, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, you guys were at the power table. You had Wilbon. I only had Schefter. You know what I mean? So, advantage you guys, right?
Really?
No.
You had some powerful people at your table.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, Schefty and Mike should wrestle. I think, and we'll see who's the king of the table.
Hey, pretty cool, Wilbon, putting the national media on blast, saying if you're coming to Chicago, guess what? It's cold. You know, like bring a jacket. You know, like come on, people.
Yeah,
absolutely. Bunch of softies out there, right?
When you travel to the Super Bowl and you're on a regular plane, are you reclining? That's been the hot topic on this show for 3 years now, and it's coming up again because of what happened on that flight recently.
I know. I tried to change the narrative and go into the window shade up or down to try to get off the reclining thing. I will recline about a quarter of the way, I'd say. Just an inch or two. I feel like I'm not impacting the guy behind me. I'm not taking full advantage of the situation, and it does feel a little better. Does that make me a bad guy?
No, I think the button there, Steve, is for you to use. If you want to use it, and you know, you comport yourself with tremendous class, as we know you do at all times, then I think you are within your flight rights to use your seat as you see fit.
And the window shade thing, like, if you're in the window seat, if you're jammed into the window, then you should have to be able to decide,
total
right?
Control.
Just like, if you have the aisle, you know, you have in and out access privileges like nobody's business. So you enjoy that. And if you're stuck in the middle seat,
you get
those
both
guys
arms.
Should be able to recline altogether, I think.
Well, and you also, I've been told
arms,
by you get both of them. You don't just get one or the other. If you're in the middle seat, you get both of the armrests.
I think that's fair. Let's give those poor people in the middle seat, let's give them something to be happy about.
Right.
But wait, Levy, the window seat, when you're 36,000 feet high, what are people looking at? Close the shade so we could watch Netflix.
Honestly, I like to see. I'm weird when it comes to that. Guys, I don't wear earbuds. I never wear headphones. I want to hear everything. I want to be able to see everything. I'm a little paranoid that way. I want to know what's going on around me, and that's sort of how I live my life, really.
Well, I would say to Sylvie, too, then if you want to control the shade, then you buy the window seat. You don't get to control the shade.
I don't want the window.
Well, then you don't get to control the shade from the aisle.
Why do you need the sunlight coming into the plane?
You don't get to make that choice. Buy the window seat.
People always want to go like that one example when the sun's shining brightly in. Like, what is that? For 4 minutes? If you happen to hit the flight the exact right time, how about if it's a night flight? How about if it's, you know, mid-morning or something like that? Like, the odds on the sun actually coming right into your window for an extended period are unlikely.
I've got a suggestion for everyone. Get yourself a double doers on the rocks, and none of this matters. And have them keep coming. Depending on the length of the flight, how many of them you can have.
Yeah. Right.
So,
especially when you guys are on your private jet. I mean, it's really not an issue, you know?
That's true. That's a really good point, Steve.
Yeah. Fair, yeah.
All right, so, you know, we were really intrigued. We thought you guys did a great job. We thought all the crews, you're our favorite, of course, but I thought the delivery was fantastic. I loved the transparency in the reviews. We loved a lot of the rules of the XFL. Were you surprised by the overwhelming positive vibes coming out of week one of the XFL?
Yes. In a word, yes, because as you know, nothing is overwhelmingly in one direction in this world anymore. And yes, the Twitterverse, which is a nasty place to live, as you well know, was overwhelmingly positive. There were executives from, I imagine, both television networks jumping up and down with glee. The ratings were great. Look, quite frankly, we knew the broadcasts were going to be good. We are all professional broadcasters, and we got our team is stacked, and I don't mean just on camera. I mean from producer and director. We're given this very close to the Monday Night Football treatment. I will say that internally for the ABC game. So we've got the big shots doing this game. So we knew the broadcast would be good. We did not know about the quality of the football. And that's, you know, that was sort of the unknown. And, you know, if quarterbacks are missing wide open receivers, or guys are dropping balls all the time, or they can't pass protect or run block, like, no matter how good we make it on TV, you know, it's just going to look like a second or third level league. So the play of the football was really good. And that sort of goes back to, maybe you guys are aware of this, maybe you're not, the pay structure. Roughly speaking, quarterbacks in this league are making 10 times what everybody else makes, every other position. And that was to ensure they get big-time quarterback player, guys who can hit the open man, and some recognizable names. And I keep going back to the one example. When Roethlisberger gets hurt in Pittsburgh last year, week two, the Steelers' first call was to Landry Jones. And he was locked up. He was signed up as the Dallas Renegades starting quarterback. And again, they're paying these guys so much money only at the quarterback position, and that's to keep them locked up because that's how important the position is. So the play was really good on the field, guys. And look, we have to see, right? So, you know, week one was unbelievable everywhere. I mean, attendance, television ratings, the play on the field, the games were exciting, and now we'll have to see what happens week two and three as we go forward.
Steve, how about some of the other issues that maybe the NFL could adopt going forward, whether it's the kickoff rule or the transparency that was exhibited between, you know, the officials and the, you know, the replay booth? Is there anything there that you think will be adopted by the NFL going further or far forward?
I think the kickoff rule has the best chance first. I think that's opened up a lot of eyes, like the wow. It's really jarring at first to see the kicker standing there all by himself, just him and the tee and the ball, and that's it, at the 30-yard line. And what they've done is they've incentivized having returns. The touchback is awful, right? I mean, it's just terrible football. You know it's going to be a touchback 80% of the time. I mean, the numbers are like that. So what the XFL has done, they've ensured you're going to get returns, A, and B, there's no high-speed collisions because the kick protect and the kick return coverage teams are like, you know, 5 yards apart. So they don't get a full head of steam running into each other. And you know, on the punt even, you have to wait 3 seconds if the ball hits the ground. You have to wait for the punt returner to catch it. And so that, again, gives you better chance of big returns. And the other thing that's really cool on the kick, which we saw once last week, which a lot of people might not be aware of, the kick has to be in the air between the 20 and the goal line.
Right.
So if the kicker kicks it short to the 23-yard line, they blow it dead, and they bring it to the kicking 45.
Wow.
So that the receiving team starts in the other team's, you know, side of the field, the plus 45. That's a huge penalty and another way to ensure the safety and a return. Some of the ideas are really smart. The PATs, and they are points after touchdown, you know, the 1, 2, 3, that's a little gimmicky, but that's fun, and that plays into great strategy conversations. Look, we need to give you another reason to watch these games beyond just the level of football, right?
How about
that's what the XFL's done?
How about the transparency? Because I thought that was one of the more appealing things as well. I mean, you may not agree with the ultimate ruling on the play by the officials, but at the very least, you get insight into why they're doing what they're doing.
Yes, great. I think I'm not sure the NFL would go that route for whatever reason. I think that might be too drastic, but I love it. How can you not love it? How do you get from point A to point B? And just to hear the on-field referee with the replay supervisor up top, hey, give me a second on this. Whoa, let me take one more look. Hang on, I see his foot. I see the balls there. I mean, that's, you know, we've never, ever heard that anyplace else before. So any place, you know, anything that could take you inside is really cool. Like, you know, the play call, right? The play call from the coordinators. I don't understand a word of it. but it's still cool to hear.
Right.
And it gives you an idea of how cerebral these players have to be to not only memorize it, to spit it back to other players on the team, but to actually understand what it means or go to the wristband. And so, you know, pro football is so complex, so complicated. I think the average fan really doesn't understand how difficult it is. And these guys, these players don't get enough credit for being how smart as they have to be.
Steve, you've got the call in New York and D.C., right? Tomorrow at 1?
Yeah.
All right. So ABC for that. Catch Steve Levy. Before we let you go, and I know you've been doing so much football and you're immersed in the XFL, but for years you were our hockey guy. I'll just ask you this. Are you surprised that for like the last 3 years, whether they missed the playoffs here these last few or they got eliminated really quick against Nashville, that the Hawks are pretty much in this no man's land area of neither good nor bad?
Yeah, they're still paying for the cups, right?
Yeah.
And I think given the trade off, you take the three cups, right? Everybody be very happy with that?
Yeah.
So what I know about the Blackhawks, I caught some of the game the other night. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Are Taves and Kane still leading the team in penalty minutes? Is that possible for the rough, tough Chicago Blackhawks? Do I have that right?
I believe that, yes. I believe that is the case, which is kind of strange, isn't it?
Obscene, right? Never could have thought that. But the game's changed an awful lot. So the Hawks, are they teetering on the playoffs right now?
I believe they're 6 or 7. I think 6 points out of the wild card at this point.
Right. Again, here's what I know, really. I've been out of it. I know Washington and Boston are really good in the East, and I know Colorado is really, really good in the West. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, coaches are getting fired. I saw Gabby got fired in Minnesota today, Bruce Boudreau.
Right.
So. Tough.
Yeah, Waddle broke that down earlier.
I did, You know me. Yeah, you know me, Steve. I'm the hockey expert here in the station.
You're breaking news.
I am. You betcha.
Steve, it's great to talk to you again. It was great to see you in person a couple of weeks ago. We'll be watching tomorrow, all right?
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, fellas. Good seeing you. Be well.
There you go. He's always great to us. Steve Levy. Yeah. Yes, and he does so many different sports, college football, and he's doing the XFL and just
be interesting, a fun guy. See what kind of staying power the XFL has. I think they'll have it. Now, if they have a fairly significant cutback in terms of the audience size, don't be shocked. I'm assuming they expect that to happen as well. I don't think that that will be a sign that this thing is headed south fast. I think this is going to stay around for a while.
Yeah, Mark Grace is going to join us next. He's back in Chicago for a bit doing some Cubs games coming up on Marquee. And what does he think also about what's going on with the Astros, one of the all-time great Cubs, joining us next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Warm me up on this cold Friday in the city of Chicago with some baseball conversation.
Yeah, there's some red hot tempers right now.
Yeah, right. We'll get to the Astros stuff. But it was great news to see this because it was a long time coming that Mark Grace is being brought back to Chicago in some capacity. One of the all-time greats in the Cubs organization is going to be doing stuff on the brand new Marquee Network.
Does that mean him and Filato are going to move in together back here in Chicago?
Well, let's ask him. Mark Grace, or better known as Gracie, joins Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Hey, Gracie.
What's going on, guys? How are you today? You know what, Sylvie? You know, you bring up Filato. I'm glad you brought up Filato because I think the last time you and I spoke, you were busy stealing my golf clubs out of my condo.
Wow.
So,
those were gifted to me.
My golf game has been so bad ever since then. So I want those clubs back.
I threw them out.
No, Mark, he had to cut them in half to make sure that they were the proper size for him.
Oh, that's not funny.
I'm sorry, my bad.
And Tommy, how are you, man?
I'm doing well.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing well, my friend. Good to know that you will be part of Cubs broadcast at times this year. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. It is. You know what? I think that's the right word. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Because. You know, it's an opportunity to come back to a city that I've always adored, I've been lucky enough to travel this country and a few places in this world, and there's not a better city in the world than Chicago, Illinois. And especially when it comes to sports. You know, LA's got Hollywood, New York has got Broadway, but Chicago, the entertainment is the sports teams.
Yep.
And you know, and that's and you know, Tommy, you were a Bear. Everybody loves the Bears in Chicago, but you know, you've got your certain pockets of Cub fans and White Sox fans and then Blackhawks fans and Bulls fans, but everybody loves the Bears.
Yep.
So but yeah, it's gonna be great to come back and hang out with the people that I love, the fans that I love, and even you two. Are you kidding me?
I can't wait. We've been talking about this since it was announced.
Sut has been talking about this as well.
Who has?
Rick Sutcliffe.
Oh, no. Don't believe a word he says. You guys should know that by now.
All right. So he does my favorite trivia question now of all time, and I share it with as many people as possible so they can win bar bets, is the David Ross's first home run came off of you. And he claims, is this true now? He claims that while you were on the mound here late in the game that you were looking up to him as far as which pitch to throw.
That is a true story. That's one of the few things in his fabled lore that is actually the truth. I was looking now. I wasn't asking him what to throw. I was just kind of waving at him like, "Hey, buddy." He says, he would say, "Throw him a curveball." And I looked up and I'm like, "I don't have a curveball. You know, my fastball is about as fast as most curveballs." So anyway, David Ross waited his whole life to hit his first big league home run. And he hits it off me in like a 19-0 game, the poor guy. But, you know, now he's managing the Cubs. And I told you, I saw him out at the Cubs complex today, and I told him, I said, "Hey, man, I started all this for you. I can take it all back."
That's great. Gracie, if Cub fans are looking to know when they'll be able to see you as part of the Marquee Network, have they given you a rough outline of what you'll be doing? Will it be in studio? Will you be calling games? What will you be doing?
Well, I don't think right now, as of right now, I don't know of any studio stuff, but
okay.
It's still quote unquote tentative, but I think some of the stuff you'll see me do will be pre and post. Mm-hmm. I think you may get some color analysis along with Jimmy DeShage and Lenny Casper. Honestly, I'll do about whatever they want me to do. Right. I think not only myself, but they brought in some fun guys. You know, some really good guys that I've known for a long time, from Ryan Dempster to Lou Piniella, Doug Glanville, a former teammate of mine. You know, just to name a few. So, I mean, we're gonna enjoy this. This thing's gonna be good this year.
Mark Grace joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So you got your World Series, in a Diamondbacks uniform. We haven't talked to you since the Cubs had won. The night they won Game 7 against Cleveland, did you shed a tear? Did you get emotional at all?
It was amazing. It was amazing. I'll tell you what, that was, you know, sometimes you got to believe in divine intervention. That was the most thrilling delay ever. Don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we were there at the game, and we couldn't believe that they were going to call a rain delay, and then it only lasted 17 minutes.
And all the momentum was in the Indians' dugout, and then that rain delay happened, and then that's where you know our boy David Ross, there it is. And it was so good for the game. And, you know, the Cubs winning the World Series is not only good for Chicago, it's good for baseball. And that was really good for baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, take away all the celebrities that love the Cubs and all the you know, from coast to coast, all the Cub fans. But I just thought it was really good for the game of baseball. And, you know, anytime baseball sometimes us baseball people mess it up, but that was a really good thing for baseball, and I'm still stoked about it.
Gracie, speaking of things messing things up, I would love to get your perspective on what has happened with the Houston Astros and whether or not Rob Manfred and the commissioner's office handled this thing correctly.
Okay, before I go there with you guys, I want to know what you guys think.
It's really...
I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I'm pissed. All right, so now just go ahead. I want to hear what your guys...
I'm not a huge fan of... There have been people calling for vacating the title, and I don't know how you go about doing that. I don't know who else was doing things wrong. I can understand why players, current and former, are really upset with the Astros. I'm surprised that Major League Baseball did not penalize the players in any way, shape, or form. That I'm surprised at.
Me too. Tommy, what do you think?
Well, that was, yeah, that was Tom. So,
oh, is that Tommy?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sylvie, what
well,
do you think?
Well, I mean, and then the apology, the non-apology made it worse.
Yeah.
It just poured more flames on it. And Waddle and I both believe, and we did a poll question on this, that this is not a 2017 story, that this has been going on for a while. And Waddle and I believe deep down that they were using buzzers. I don't know what you think.
I do too. And here's the thing. Okay, so the Commissioner Manfred is in a really crappy situation here.
Yeah.
Because he's got this enormous situation. Okay, so he came down on the GM. Alex Cora got let go.
Beltran, the next manager.
Yeah, Beltran got let go. Okay, this is just the beginning, guys. Okay, so here's what happens. Okay. Because I had to testify in the Mitchell report back in the steroid days. So I know what happens. You know, Tommy, you've been around me a long time. You know I didn't do any steroids. So that's that. Okay. So now is this you? We have to decide. Okay. What? Just how egregious is this? Just how bad is this? Is this worse than what we lost?
It's worse than steroids.
I think it's worse.
I don't know.
I think it is.
Is it worse than steroids?
Yeah.
Is it worse than what Pete did, or is it not? You know, Pete got a lifetime ban. So if you think this is worse, because these guys cheated.
Yeah.
And they cheated their way to a World Series. They cheated other teams. They cheated other players. They cheated the game of baseball. Okay, so let's decide. How bad is this? So that's what I'm saying. This is a bad place.
Yeah.
Man, because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but I can tell you this, guys. Technology is just improving day in and day out. It's getting better. Technology is getting better and better, so it's going to be easier and easier to cheat.
Yeah.
Well, Gracie,
I don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah. Gracie, what was your lifetime average? About what, 305 or something like that?
You know what? I'm going to thank you. 303, but I'm going to give you 305.
So that was close. It was pretty good.
305.
All right,
yeah.
So let me ask you this question. As someone who played the game at the high level that you did, if you knew what pitch was coming every time you were batting, what would your lifetime batting average be?
450.
That much of a difference?
It's that much of a difference.
Which then tells it's you how much more severe this cheating is than steroids.
If a pitcher is careless enough to tip his pitches, okay, and even some of the best pitchers I face tip their pitches. So, or if a catcher is going to show you, you know, maybe he's not hurting his back well enough, or when you get on second base, he's just going first sign. If they're going to be that careless, then that is free game.
Right.
I got no problem with that. But once you start putting a camera up in center field and you've got it hooked up to a monitor in the dugout, and you're just now, you know, you're going to find out the catcher's sequences, and this catcher's doing nothing wrong.
Right.
And this pitcher's doing nothing wrong. And it is, and now every stinking pitch that's coming, I mean, now add to the total that these Houston Astros hitters have, from Altuve to Correa, to, you know, really good. And now they know every stinking pitch that's coming?
Yeah.
Come on, that is wrong and not fair. And I'm going to, it's a family show, so I'm not going to say it, but you know it is.
Yeah.
Gracie, great catching up with you. Hopefully when you get to town, you can join us in studio one day. We'd love to see you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Gracie.
You bet, guys. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
There he is, Mark Gray. So he said he's a 303 hitter. If
he'd
he knew
450.
450, if he knew every pitch that came his way throughout his career. That speaks volumes right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think we both agree that it's more egregious than the steroids thing, and I think pitchers have said that.
Michael Wilbon may have just gotten one of the biggest awards of his career minutes ago in his hometown covering the sport he loves. We'll ask him about that coming up here in a couple of minutes.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Scheduled Michael Wilbon for today, it was because he's coaching the celebrity game, but that's a child's play. That's fun stuff. I'm sure he's excited to do that, but this is new news that has come in within the hour, and Michael just posted video of this, and I'm glad the timing is perfectly for us, Waddle, just to have him on for a minute or two here to congratulate him. Michael Wilbon just received the Kirk Gowdy Media Award for print journalism. That comes from the Basketball Hall of Fame. And he just got the phone call. Michael, congratulations.
Way to go, buddy.
Thank you. What are your thoughts to receive this? This was already a pretty momentous week in Chicago. And then to have this happen, I had less than no idea whatsoever. Even when I was on the phone, because the things I do with the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, because of Jerry Colangelo, his influence and his including me in different projects and endeavors. And so I thought it was that. I thought it was like, okay, you're going to attend this workshop? And that wasn't it.
Michael, I'm sure, knowing you, that you didn't get in this industry to win this award. You got in this industry because it's something that you love. But could you have ever imagined years and years ago that ultimately this honor would have been bestowed upon you?
No, I didn't even imagine it 2 or 3 years ago. And I guess as you guys know how much I love my career, my job now, which has been doing PTI primarily and all other things on the various ESPN platforms, including covering the NBA for, 18 and a half years. But, the thing that I have completed a career in is print journalism. I mean, I wrote for the Washington Post 30 years, probably 24, 25 of it in part covering the NBA. And it's stipulated, the my print career, and that is, it's sort of long gone. I stopped doing it in 2010. So I didn't think anything like that was ever going to happen, and people suggested it would, and I suspect I know some of the people behind this. But it was—it's just—it's stunning. It's humbling. It's an honor. It's beyond an honor. I can't even imagine it. I didn't know. I didn't think it was going to happen, and I wasn't sitting around hoping for it. But the people who are in it, going back to some of my idols when I first got into business, like Curry Kirkpatrick, and up recently through my David Dupree, who was my basketball covering mentor at the Washington Post, and David Aldridge, my dear friend. There's lots of people in that list who, I respect, idolize, adore, and so to be included with them in this, the Kirk Gowdy winner, and now Mike Breen on the electronic side. It's an honor, and for it to happen this week and get the call in Chicago and Navy Pier. It was about as cool a thing as I can imagine.
That's what I was going to ask you, Michael. I mean, could you ever dream? I mean, you tell us all the time about you growing up, about you playing Little League, about you, looking up to the Hall of Famers of the athletes that you watched as a sports fan. Could you have ever imagined you'd be standing in your hometown just before the All-Star game as you're set to coach a celebrity team?
No, that this would ever happen? No, all of that's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. And even the people who, they're my heroes, like
the people I got to know, like, you know, to walk into Wrigley Field with Ernie, with Billy Williams as I did last year, 2 years ago. And then, to sit in spring training and talk to Ferguson Jenkins and introduce my son Matthew to him. But Matty once asked me, Dad, the Cubs have never had a guy as good as Jake Arrieta, have we? And I said, yeah, let's go out and meet Ferguson Jenkins. And to have that, that's one thing. But then there are people that you get to know, like Quinn Buckner. You know, I mean, people who influence your career. Charles Barkley. My God, we just sat with Charles the other day. And then Charles is going to be part of this, too. I think there's a special award for Inside the NBA for the fabulous show that redefined conversation about sports as far as I'm concerned. And so that is just, you know, those guys are friends, peers. I'd like to think I've learned a lot. I'm able to pick their brains. I'm able to talk to Quinn Buckner, able to talk to people who have been in one basketball Hall of Fame or another. And it's just, it's hard to believe.
You know, you're going to have to put a little something, you know, a little harsher than water in that ginger ale tonight to celebrate,
no,
Michael.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, Charles may make me ultimately do that. More change. But I think that, you know, it'll be the usual sort of, I don't know, downplayed thing for me because, you know, I've gotten congratulations from people that, you know, that I, again, Hall of Famers in one basketball Hall of Fame or another. I've heard from Grant Hill, and I heard this morning about the celebrity game, and I better not lose from Doc Rivers, and which was great. And I said, oh, yeah, no pressure from people that, again, I am lucky enough to able to pick the brains of some brilliant, brilliant people who have made their careers in basketball, and their access to me is all that leads to me getting in such a thing. Such an institution is being able to take from them and sort of deliver, dispense to people what that is.
Are you running the triangle tonight?
No, I'm gonna run out of the way, and hopefully Quinn Richardson and Chelsea Gray and people who know how to play this game are gonna bail me out.
That's awesome,
Michael. Congratulations, you are the absolute best.
Thank you. Listen. This week was a lot of fun in large part because of what we did Wednesday at Chicago Cut.
Yep.
And, you know, we did it there. I need to thank Dave Flom again. But I need to thank you guys because this is one of my – this is beyond something I enjoy doing. This is a look forward to every single week, you know, and I don't even know how – if somebody asks me how long we've been doing this now, I don't know. You guys will tell me that maybe next week. But I just appreciate being on with you guys. In my hometown and being here this week, and it's been a dream. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the relationship more than you know, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
Enjoy yourself tonight.
There you go.
Will do. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Right, there you go. Michael Wilbon on the Corona Hotline again. The Basketball Hall of Fame just announced. And again, we were just having him on to goof about coaching the celebrity game. And then he gets this news a half hour ago. Congratulations to the 2020 Kirk Gowdy Media Award winner for print media is Michael Wilbon, 30
awesome.
Years Washington Post columnist, named top sports columnist 2001, Lifetime Achievement Award in 2009, covered the every NBA Finals since 1987. And he gets this award today, standing in his native Chicago.
Well-deserved as well. And by the way, Mike, always brought to you by our good friends at HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one. PlaceHawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Paul's in Kenosha. Paulie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
You.
Happy weekend.
Same
yeah,
to you.
Happy weekend.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. That's right. Hey, Tom, got a question.
Uh-huh.
You watched Pete Rose growing up, right?
Oh, yes, right? I did.
Oh, man, great guy. Mm-hmm. You know, my uncle telling me the stories about him, great player. Manager, not so good because he did a little bit of dirty work. He played, you know, got caught up gambling on the game. So, why not take the Houston Astros, take their trophy, void it out, say there's no winner of that. If they want to do that, then they should let Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame as a player, not a manager. What do you guys think?
I don't know that you, I know, Paul, that Pete has petitioned using the Astros and the lack of punishments dished out to the players as reason why he should now be on the ballot. I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to rule on that. I think, I subscribe to the theory that you brought out years and years ago. Put them all in. If you're deserving of being in, put them in. Tell the story.
Put you're it not on going his plaque.
In. Yeah.
Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, 4256 hits, the hits king. Also suspended from baseball from 1980 whatever to 2020 when he gambled on the game as a manager. Put right. that on the actual plaque.
But yeah. you don't need to do it like that. You could say excellent handicapper and put like his record as a handicapper.
Well, I don't I mean would like, he tell the truth on
well,
that?
Well, maybe not.
Well, my guess is whatever. He wasn't an excellent handicapper.
I mean, according to Big Cat yesterday, if you lose three games, you won. So let's just put it. You don't need to be negative about it.
Higher career win percentage than batting average.
You know, you want to put the steroid guys in, just be like, tried to change their body like the Incredible Hulk. Like, you could just make these things seem not
Hulk
as bad as
they are. Icon on there.
Yeah.
Bulging muscles.
Bruce Banner was his idol. Yeah. Like, something like that.
I thought the Mark Grace line, too, was really good about what he would have hit. And just very, very telling. A career 303 hitter, he said he would have hit 450 if he knew every pitch that was coming throughout his entire career.
I can understand that. I think that's why pitchers, I mean, who was the pitcher that said, look, I'd rather face somebody that was, had been, you know, and I was, had tested positive for taking steroids than someone who knew what pitch was coming every time.
Yeah. 312-332-3776 if you want to react to all of that. We've got What to Watch For coming up next. Always good with the tips on television, whether it's sports or otherwise. And Mark Jean Greco up at 5:30. More next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, a lot going on in our town with the All-Star Game. There's games tonight with the Rising Stars, which is at the United Center. And they've got the Celebrity Game at Wintrust. So they've got two things across town from each other. Then tomorrow we've got the three-point, the dunk contest, the skills competition. We've got the All-Star Game Sunday. And it's been fun. All the shows from ESPN have been in town. Golic and Wingo were at Navy Pier today. First Take's been in town for the last 2 days. TNT was here. I talked to Travis, one of our great teammates, who said that he went to the TNT festivities at the House of Blues.
Nice.
So Charles did something with us on Wednesday. Don't forget the replay of that is coming up at noon on Saturday. So that's tomorrow. But it's been a
lot of fun in our town.
Yeah.
Just bundle up. It's a little nippy out there.
It is. It is. So why don't we like go, because I have to catch up with a lot of the stuff on my DVR. And it's called What to Watch For. It's brought to you by our friends at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse. Not far from the United Center, Waddle. So if you're going to the Rising Stars after the game, yeah, go grab a glass of wine, some great steak, some seafood, great dessert, whatever you want. They got a majestic bar.
Yes.
And then weekend, whatever you're doing. And then when the Hawks and the Bulls return here, it's a great spot. Thank us later. Swift and Sons from the Boca Restaurant Group. Let's get to What to Watch For.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
What are you watching for, Waddle?
You know what I'm watching for. Take
XFL?
A guess.
XFL.
Wrong.
The Outsider.
Wrong. Come on. Come on.
Blackhawk hockey.
Yes! We're going to get the nut in the net this weekend.
Are you sure
about double dip? Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Saturday, they're in Calgary. Sunday, they wrap up this hideous trip in Winnipeg. I don't know how successful they're going to be. They need to get nut in nets quite often. But I will be watching.
It is Valentine's Day, after all.
Today's Valentine's Day, not tomorrow or Sunday.
Well, you know, you can have the whole weekend. When Valentine's Day falls on a Friday, Waddle, you can spread the love all weekend long.
I'm looking for the Hawks to get the nut in the net is all I'm saying. That's all. Score. Let's score.
Is this a common thing, Meller, where didn't they start the trip in Winnipeg and then they end the trip in Winnipeg?
No, this is a very rare thing. In fact, I cannot remember
this being a thing. So.
It's weird. When someone mentioned it to me the other day, I thought it was that they were misspeaking. It's a 5-game road trip.
Have you ever been to Winnipeg?
No.
Do you have any desire to go?
You know what? I've been to Toronto, which was awesome.
Never been to Canada, I don't think.
I want to go to Montreal. I have heard that Montreal
rocks.
Yes.
Montreal and Toronto are both excellent cities.
And so I want to go to Vancouver. So I guess...
Vancouver's on the west coast, right?
Yes.
Just north of...
Yes.
Portland.
Portland.
So those are... I've been to one. I want to go to two more Canadian cities. After that, I think I'm good.
I see that Winnipeg... Do you know where Winnipeg is located?
Winnipeg is west, isn't it?
Yes. No?
West of what?
West of us?
Well, most places
good
are
call.
West
I
of
mean,
us.
That's why
we're going.
It's the western Canada trip.
Isn't Toronto west. Northeast?
Yes.
Montreal is east, northeast.
I would say yes. Winnipeg is actually kind of right in the middle of Canada, wouldn't you say?
But it's the western Canada
like
trip.
Like above the Dakotas? Where are we talking here?
Way to go. Yes, it's See? Above North Dakota. Like right...
Bam.
Falls right on... Like if you took the line between North Dakota and Minnesota straight north, you'd run right through
there
downtown
go.
Winnipeg.
Calgary's west, far west,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Western Canada. Mm-hmm. Vancouver's, of course, right above Seattle.
Yes. Opposed to Western Mexico, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you said Western Canada, so.
Where's Manitoba?
It's where all the moose hang out.
Dead north of Winnipeg. Meese. Where's Ontario?
That's dead north from us.
Good point. Where's Quebec?
That is east.
Yes.
East.
Look at you guys.
Yeah, Montreal.
We know our provinces, Tom.
Well done, boys.
I think. All right. What am I watching for? I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit. I do have the Michael Vick thing in my DVR. I've got to watch it. It's a two-part ESPN 30 for 30. I still got to catch up on The Outsider. I still have to catch up on Curb, all that sort of stuff. But what I'm watching for most is the emotion at the United Center on Sunday. I think this is going to be a special night for a lot of NBA players because of David Stern and, of course, Kobe Bryant. And I think we will see several dedications. I think Jennifer Hudson will provide an emotional pregame dedicated song to Kobe Bryant and performance. She's Chicago's very own. So I'm looking forward to Sunday. What do you guys have?
So dropped last night, Narcos Mexico season
Ooh,
2
really?
Is now available. So if you'd like to watch that,
is this
it is
like
there for
season
your
5 or 6 overall of Narcos?
I believe it's the 4th. I think it's the 4th.
My brother told me about this.
So Narcos Mexico season 2 is now available. And next week, boys, a little precursor.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Can I get ahead? Huh?
What?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's not Jason Bateman's.
Not quite.
Okay.
No, not yet. No.
But Better Call Saul is lurking.
Oh,
the last season.
Yes.
I've never seen Better Call Saul. I got to start.
What?
It's good.
That's what you
really
need
good.
To watch.
Dude,
you got 4 seasons to catch up on, Tom.
Dude, I did not see one episode of Breaking Bad until the series was over. So this is my trend.
Disappointed in you.
But that's why it would have made sense to really get right. That's what I did. When I was done with Breaking Bad, I went to Better Call Saul. And I binged it, and I'm caught up.
I'll do it at some point.
Gentlemen, while you will be watching the basketball and the Kobe tributes, for if you are like me and you are a fan of the hip-hop, it is a great weekend for hip-hop. Kanye's in Wicker Park right now handing out free Yeezys to whoever wants them.
What is that?
They're his shoes.
Okay.
He's handing out free Yeezys.
Free?
Free. I guess I don't know when they're going to do it. I guess halftime, because they're doing 4 quarters still technically of the All-Star game. Halftime is going to be Chance the Rapper, Lil Wayne, DJ Khaled, Quavo, DaBaby's in town. I'm not saying, I'm just saying he'll probably be there. There's going to be a lot of hip-hop going on. Dame Lillard is going to rap on Saturday night, which is he's actually very good at rapping. He's very good. So he's going to be doing that Saturday night. So watch for that, and also miss out on all the Jordan shoes like I have, which is fun.
So what do you mean? Like all these retro Jordan shoes were available for a brief time,
it's a huge week for shoes. Like there's a huge Nike party. There's an Adidas thing. There's like everything's going on. If you are a fan of the NBA, hip hop, sneakers, everything involved in that, like that culture, that subculture, that's not really a subculture. That realm,
it's his own culture.
Yeah, that whole thing. This is like the weekend for you, and like everybody comes into town for it. And even if you're not a player, even if you're a shoe person, you come into it for it and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. There's concerts everywhere this weekend.
Do you have tickets?
I might go see. So there's a
I heard you may be going to the Underground.
Yeah, we might do that. I was I was at a comedy show with
nothing against the underground. Nothing sounds less appealing to me than going to the underground.
Yeah, well, you're going home and going to bed tonight. So I was at a comedy show last night with Hannibal Buress and Lil Rel from Get Out.
Yeah, tell us about Hannibal.
So Hannibal was hilarious. He hosted like a comedy show with him, Lil Rel. He's the TSA agent from Get Out, if you know that, if you watch that movie. And then Jay Farrow was there too, and a couple other local Chicago comedians. The biggest joke of the night were the Chicago Bulls, because every comedian seemed to have a joke about how bad they were and how their players...
Where was this at?
This was at Talia Hall over in the south part of the city.
Nice.
So it was good. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of... There's like a hookah bar that's hosting the Migos on Sunday night, which I might try to get into, which is going to be funny.
You're not smoking the hookah now, are you?
No, not currently. I don't have a hookah in the studio with me, but I do have one that I have in a suitcase.
Smoked it one time.
That I could bring out if I wanted to.
It didn't do anything for me.
What? It's like a cigar. You're not supposed to inhale hookah.
I had the worst headache after doing it.
See,
that I've ever had.
You probably inhaled.
Of course I did.
You're not supposed to. It's like smoking a cigar. You don't inhale. It's not a cigarette.
Real men inhale
cigars. I didn't
like
the flavorings of it.
You can get different flavors.
I'm with you. I'm not a big fan.
Just give Waddle a double doors on the rocks, as he said earlier with Steve Levy. All right, coming up next, there are two hot topics going on. A Bulls chant that started on live national TV today, and people are still really mad at the Astros. All that in 2 minutes.